Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon to you, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. We're also on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU. And you can subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show where you get the podcast. Hit subscribe and we drop them right to your smartphone and tablets. You can have access to them on the go, and always 3 months of shows, we have them on the podcast portion of our website, stevejonesshow.com. Email address, stevejones@wkok.com, and Steve, in a moment, will check in from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. He'll be with you live till 5, and then we'll have our late-day news roundup, 5:06 with Matt Catrillo, and get you into the evening with CBS Sports Radio tonight here on WKOK. We'll talk Penn State basketball with Ben Jones, statecollege.com, on the Nittany Lions win over the weekend at Illinois. And also looking forward to his debut interview here on WKOK, the new head coach of the Bucknell Bison football team, Dave Cicchini. Dave's scheduled to join us at 4:35 this afternoon. Next up for Penn State basketball will be Maryland on Wednesday night, and we will look forward to hearing from the pride and joy, the voice of Maryland football and men's basketball, Johnny Holiday. We've mentioned on the show numerous times when we grow up, we want to be like Johnny Holiday.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, to reunite with Johnny tomorrow.
Johnny, I know, look, if anybody's at Maryland, they miss the ACC. I completely understand that, okay? Because, I mean, that's what they grew up on. Right? I mean, let's be honest about it. Let's look at Penn State fans. We're 26, 27 years into the Big Ten. There are a lot of people at Penn State are not on board with the Big Ten. They're not on board with it. Uh, 27 years later, they're like, they missed the days of playing West Virginia, Syracuse, Pitt, whatever. And the same thing with Maryland, a lot of, especially when it comes to ACC basketball, they miss it. But I've told Johnny, I said, you know what? I told him flat out, I said, one of the best things about you going to the Big Ten is this. He goes, what's that? I said, that you're in the Big Ten. We've known each other for a long time. We laugh and kid around together all the time. But let's get serious for a moment. He's in his 40th year, his 40th season doing Maryland basketball. In January, he was named the Maryland Broadcaster of the Year. He has stories that are phenomenal. But he's also just really, really great at what he does. I am looking so forward to talking with Johnny on Tuesday. And when Johnny comes to town, I mean, like last year, for example, I went over to the hotel. We had dinner over there. So it was a great time. Great time. All right. Today we're going to talk about the NFL draft, a little bit on Penn State basketball. I don't really know what to say about the Kraft situation. I don't know if you do. I really don't. Let's just let it play out, see what happens. It sounds like as a legal part of it, it sounds like it is, 100 hours of community service and probably no jail time if he were to be charged, convicted, pled, whatever. Okay.
Maybe a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, it'd be a fine. Yeah, I left the fine part out. It's my fault.
At this point, officially charged with 2 misdemeanor counts. That just broke here a little earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, and I guess they've released some details? I don't know. I'm not really sure I really care what the details are.
Yeah, we're starting to hear a little more of a timetable as to what happened on January the 20th. Allegedly, Kraft was observed by police on video surveillance at the day spa sometime that morning, around 11 a.m. or so. Of course, it was later that day. You had Patriots Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, which kicked off at 6:40. Court date has been set for April 20th. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks like April 24th. Court date has been set.
Well, obviously he took a private plane, obviously, to get to Kansas City, but
yeah.
Wow, that's different. Okay.
Yeah, the burning question, who will get the video surveillance camera action first? Probably TMZ? wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, they have the cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
It turns out there's been a lot of sex trafficking going on in Florida. Close to a dozen of those spas have been closed, not just in that city, but even all the way down to Orlando, and several people have been charged and taken into custody.
Okay. All right.
Nothing, of course, from the NFL yet, specifically from Roger Goodell, but they did release a statement. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what can the NFL say? It's one of those deals where, I mean, for us to sit here and go, well, what do you think? I mean, what the heck? We don't know anything. So, I don't want to pontificate about something that I don't have any knowledge of, just what I read. So we'll find out as time goes. It's interesting because I'll say this about Kraft. I mean, what can the NFL do? Say, let's do worst-case scenario. Okay, let's go worst-case scenario. In a worst-case scenario, you start looking at the Jim Irsay, where he was suspended 6 games and fined $500,000. Now, for Robert Kraft, $500,000 is approximately 1/14 of his wealth. That's probably even less than that. Right. I mean, so, but that's what about it comes down to. And the 6 games, he is somebody who, for example, is active in the running of the Patriots on a daily basis. So, but that's, you know, doing that, would it affect the Patriots? And, you know, who knows how much Jonathan Kraft runs the team right now, too. You know, I don't know how the inner workings of the Patriots go. We can guess, but that's all we'd be doing is guessing. Yeah, that story broke. I mean, everywhere you turn, different stories. Well, the timing of it is now he's going to have a court date April 24th at 8:30. Max is a $5,000 fine, 100 hours community service, and he can face a year in jail. Okay. There were 165 people, I think, that they were looking at. 10 spas have been closed in Palm Beach all the way up to Orlando. Several people have been taken into custody. And now we'll. You know, I think it's just better to see how it plays out before then we get the comment. So we'll reserve comment on that because I just think it's the best way at this time to go. How about that? We'll leave it at that. Wrestling was was almost ridiculous yesterday. I think we'll just go to a pin fest.
I predicted 41-3. I was close, but I didn't expect a forfeit in the mix either.
Yeah, it's a 47-3. But what? Nolf pin, Joseph pin, Hall pin, Nickel pin. Did Shakur Rashid get a pin too?
I believe he did.
It was good to see him back in the lineup. Let's start with that. It's good to see him back in the lineup.
Yeah, I ran into my next door neighbor at the grocery store yesterday after the duel, and he said he was watching it with his dad. And he said, "Yeah, it's almost becoming, I won't say boring, but just commonplace is just the way they're dominating their opponents." Although there would have been one great duel meet to watch yesterday would have been Iowa and Oklahoma State. Two teams undefeated.
No offense. If Penn State's not wrestling, I can't watch anybody else. I mean, seriously, I don't have enough. My depth of interest in the sport does not go beyond what Penn State does. Penn State, yeah. I mean, believe me, you know, we did features on Nolf and Nickel this year for the football and basketball shows. I mean, we have meetings, but I specifically wanted them because I think they're so significant. That's why when it came time in the meeting, I was the one that spoke up and was very like, "Hey, we're doing this." Well, how about? And I said, "No, we're going to do features on these two guys." And it was like, "Okay." I said, "Look, this is their last go around." I said, "The NCAAs are in Pittsburgh and so forth." You know, and when it comes time to when they wrestle somebody, when Nickel's going to be in a one versus two and so forth. Yeah, you know, I know who the other person is. But, you know, Iowa's wrestling Oklahoma State. I could give a darn. Like, A, who wins, how they do, what they do, nothing. I have zero interest in it. All right, oh, Iowa's wrestling Oklahoma State. Here's one. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. You know, just like somebody who's like, "Hey, UCLA played Oregon in basketball the other night." It's probably a wrestling fan going, "So what? Who cares?" Exactly.
I was around a lot of people that love their high school and college wrestling. I know they would have got a kick out of it, at least to see it live on regular TV. But we know that wasn't going to happen. So,
well, it's the biggest problem that the sport has. It doesn't have casual fan interest. You know what I mean? You have diehard interest, massive diehard interest. It's just not enough casual fan interest to get it out of the being a niche sport. You know, that is an issue, and it's never going to be that way. I think if it hadn't happened by now, with all the TV coverage it's received in recent years, it's not going to happen. It's still going to be a niche sport with an extremely strong and passionate following. When they go to Minneapolis next year. It's going to be a lot like the Syracuse-Duke basketball game the other night. You see Maria Taylor sitting up in the seats where they can barely see the court? Yeah. That's how it's going to be next year in Minneapolis. You're going to have some people who are going to want to be a part of what's going on, to be there, to be a part of the record crowd, the largest crowd ever to watch wrestling in the history of the world, because it will be the largest crowd being inside that dome next year in Minneapolis. But it's going to be a rumor to a good chunk of them because they're going to be in seats like they were at the Carrier Dome for basketball the other night. But they're going to have that crowd because people love the sport and are really, really into it. It's a sport, though, that does not bring with it a lot of casual fans. That's what keeps it from making the next step. It just can't get the casual fan interested in it. Penn State, in this state, the casual fan gets interested in it because Penn State's that good. If Penn State were fifth, for example, the casual fan would not be as interested in it. Right? But because they are the best, and they are the best, the casual fan in this state is really into it, thus they have a great following here. But they couldn't tell you a single guy that wrestles for Iowa or Oklahoma State. I mean, You can be into it all you want. You can call the show. I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine. That's fine. So, whatever. Am turning pro? No? Okay. We're done. But you want to talk about Penn State? You want to talk about Mark Hall? I remember Mark Hall's recruiting visit when they brought him in and put him in front of the football team. You know, you want to talk about Vincenzo Joseph and how he's got his fought his way back and got himself to the top, or about Bo, or about Nolf, or about Lee, or about Roman Bravo Young. Oh, yeah, we could talk about all of them. I mean, you know, how many times have I talked about each of them on the show? But if you ask me about, hey, what do you think about the kid from Oklahoma State? Never saw him wrestle? Don't care. At least that's an honest answer. I'm not going to sit here and fake it for you. That's an honest answer. When they wrestled Ohio State, I knew who most of the Ohio State guys were. Okay. That's why I sat there and I watched every second of it. And I watched Penn State go out there and go, bang, 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 we're done, and watch Tom Ryan suffer for 2 hours. Which brought with it an interesting entertainment value. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Next half hour, Luke Easterly on the NFL draft in the 4:06 half hour. And then we'll have Dave Cicchini on, the brand new head football coach at Bucknell, joining us on the show. Talked to him at 4:35. He's already started to get a good handle on assembling his staff. Talk to him a little bit about how you were able to recruit late and the potential he sees for Bucknell football and whether they need to make a change in the color analyst. Oh, was that a bad question?
Well, we're addressing it early.
Might as well get to it now.
Exactly. Why wait?
I mean, Doug is safe as safe gets.
Sure.
Yeah. But I just thought maybe we'd just see how he felt about it. How do you feel about this?
Doug was calling a lot of three-pointers yesterday, about racking up 118 yesterday against Lafayette.
Well, I'll tell you, the points per possession that Bucknell has, really impressive. Their offensive efficiency is actually very good, and it's in part because they can shoot the ball from the outside. It's interesting how Nathan's done a great job of reloading that team. Yeah, I thought they lost a lot off of last year's team. This year's team's terrific. But we all know it comes down to what you do in three games. You know, what do you do in the Patriot League tournament? That's the avenue to the NCAAs. You know, it's interesting, too. This is the kind of year I think where maybe, and Bucknell doesn't quite fit a mid-major profile, but you think of a year, I think the bubble's very weak in college basketball this year. Hey, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance may be. They are the insurance experts. They find you exactly the right coverage. They find you the best price. As time goes, they'll update you. They'll take great care of you. There's a claim. They really go to work. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament now set for Wednesday, May 8th at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we've got some special stuff that we may be doing on the 7th of May. We'll get to that when full details are available. But we're looking forward to it very, very much. All right, let's get to some basketball. Then the NFL draft next half hour. Luke Easterly, USA Today, is going to join us. In the final half hour, Dave Cicchini, new head football coach at Bucknell, will join us. We have a full show today, including Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Hello, Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me. I'm away yet, but I'm just staying indoors.
It's amazing, isn't it? We're at the top of the runway on Saturday. At least I said, let's get out of here before it starts. Yeah. Before it starts. And we did. All right. What are some common threads that you're seeing in this Penn State basketball team over this last six-game stretch?
I think they're playing good defense. I think they're missed shots. I think they're getting out of their own way a little bit. And I think the past few games, I'm sure we were going to get to this at some point. I think, you know, Jamari Wheeler has been really just a completely different player offensively. And that's really the area I think, you know, when he and Ra are able to drive to the basket and are able to find open guys and are able to make their shots, it spaces the floor so much differently. Lamar Stevens has hit some threes at timely moments. It makes him even harder to guard because even if he is not statistically necessarily a great three-point shooter, even if he's just making a few of them a game, just one or two a game to keep defenses honest, you have to guard him out there. It opens everything up. So I think you're just seeing, you know, it's sort of cliche that, and I think, you know, he sort of knows that you hear Pat every year say, you know, they just want to be the best team they can be by the end of the season. But I think you're seeing sort of the best version of what these guys can do right now the past few weeks. It's resulted in some wins. It's resulted in some wins that were losses but probably should have been wins, but all, you know, all wrapped up in a bow on top of it. They're playing good basketball on both ends of the floor, and it's not just a one-man show.
Let's get to Mike Watkins because, I mean, obviously the disadvantage you have not being there is you don't have an opportunity to read somebody. I remember walking out of the hotel, I said to Dick Girardi, he says, Mike's live today. And it turned out he was live all day. When he is like that, what kind of a difference does he make?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, an active, a bouncy, and a live is a good way to put it. A live Mike Watkins is a guy that's really not like a player that Penn State's had in a while, or really, there's some comparisons you can make with some of the older guys back in the day, but I think, you know, Mike Watkins, when he is active, when he is confident, when he is hitting some of the shots that he likes to take, when he's got his back to the basket, when he's active defensively, he's not getting in foul trouble, he's able to get some of these, you know, that one possession where I think he had, it seemed like three blocks all in the same possession, where he's able to reload. I think that's one of the most impressive things about Mike is, you know, I think a lot of players can probably get up and block a shot like he can. I think it's his ability to land on the ground and do it again with the same amount of explosiveness, you know, has been impressive. So, yeah, absolutely. When he is live, he's a very good player. You know, the issue, or at least the challenge this year, has been, you know, getting him up to speed mentally and physically, getting him healthy, and getting that sort of Mike Watkins every night because, you know, he makes Penn State a very different team when he's that good. Even if he's only giving you 10 points and 10 rebounds, which I realize a double-double is not exactly something to shrug at, you know, when he does stuff like that, it just makes Penn State such a better team.
Josh Reeves, he hit the three to get to 1,000 points. How relaxed was on his shoulders for a period of time? Did he look more relaxed to you as you watched?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously he looked relaxed at that moment because they were waxing Nebraska pretty good. But I think, you know, when Josh is playing loose, when Josh is playing that sort of fearless brand of basketball that he's known for, you know, I think you know, he's a much better player. And I do think that it's all, you know, the losing and the close losses and then all of this sort of weighs on your shoulders, especially as a senior and especially as a guy, you know, like Josh. He's never really been a scorer his entire career. And now, you know, this last year they've asked him to do a lot more of that. You know, I think we've seen, you know, over the years we saw when Shep went through sort of a cold streak that you start to grip the ball a little harder, you start to think about it a little bit too much. So I think between him making some of these shots, between Penn State winning some games, playing well, you know, I think he feels a little bit less like he has to do this all on his own. And obviously, you know, Lamar has carried that sort of scoring burden, but I think Josh, as a senior, you're always going to have that guy feel like, you know, everyone expects a senior season to be somehow head and shoulders above what it's been the rest of their career just because they're a year older now. But I think absolutely when Josh is loose, that's the best Josh Reeves, and a very good Josh Reeves is, you know, among, I would say, you know, in terms of utility and multi-purpose usage, he's among the best in the conference, if not the country.
When, as a season goes, something that becomes very important for teams to me, winning and losing, details. Which team takes care of more details than the other team does? What details are you seeing that Penn State is taking care of right now that maybe a month ago it was, you know, hit or miss?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, we talk about free throws, and I think every time Penn State misses one, it's accentuated just because of that narrative. But I do think, I don't remember what the numbers are off the top of my head, but I know at one point I believe they were 13 to 16 from the line, which is a perfectly, you know, acceptable rate, especially on the road. I think, you know, for as much as Illinois likes to turn teams over for a good portion of that game, Penn State did a good job taking care of the ball. They did a good job taking care of the ball against Michigan. You know, so I do think it's all the little things. It's, you know, Jamari Wheeler not going in among the trees like we've talked about before, getting, you know, sort of stuck somewhere. It's not guys having unforced errors. And, it, you know, you mentioned details. That's really, you know, in every sport, is a team that's able to make the fewest self-inflicted wounds, the fewest mistakes under pressure, usually win a lot of games. And I think you've seen Penn State is, if they're losing, it's just because they beat them. It's just because, you know, you can't quite make as many shots as you need to or quite at the right time. And that's a perfectly fine way to lose. I think when you start to really get down on yourself is when you do the things that you know you didn't need to do and make the mistakes you know you didn't need to make. And I think we've seen Penn State with the ball has done a good job with that. And for the most part, they've stayed out of foul trouble in key moments. And that has helped them as well, because for as good as Ra has been off the bench, you know, they're not super, super deep. And there's only so much you can do once these guys start to pick up, you know, fouls three and four. So I think all of those things have kind of resulted in what you've seen, which is a team that's playing pretty good basketball and has won a couple games.
Without foul trouble, Patrick Chambers essentially stuck to a seven-man rotation against Nebraska till late. Had some foul trouble, so it got expanded a bit. Myron Jones played a few minutes and was very good. Trent Buttrick got a couple of minutes. But what has it told you about the reduced primary rotation for Penn State at this stage? Because at one point he was offense for defense. He's not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of that just shows you that these guys have developed on both ends. You know, you might have, especially these freshmen, a guy that's you know, knows what he can do on the offensive end and maybe isn't doing something defensively that you'd like. You know, I think it also means you kind of have a better idea of where guys on the bench are in terms of that process. I do think Myron Jones, for as sporadic as his minutes have been, when he gets thrown in there, he's certainly, you know, he's doing himself plenty of favors by, you know, playing pretty well, I would say, in those opportunities. But I think, you know, the more, it's sort of a blessing and a curse. You know, it's good when your bench can be nine people deep. It also probably means that you haven't had a lot of separation. You know, I think of football a little bit, and they go, well, yeah, we've got tons of linebackers. And, you know, the other side of that coin is because they don't know who's going to be the good one yet. So I think, you know, I think when you get to seven guys, that probably means that the guys on the floor are doing a lot of the things that you want them to do on both ends of the floor. I mean, you've got some guys that can come off the bench. I think Bolton's been fantastic off the bench. That's really, you know, to his credit, to embrace that role. So I think that's both the good and the bad, but probably more good than anything else.
Penn State's last two trips to Maryland have resulted in 59 free throw attempts for Maryland to 10. When they played here, it's been a little bit different in that area. How do you view Maryland at this point? Because obviously at 21-7, they put together a really nice season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Maryland has gotten back a little bit to what we're sort of used to of Maryland even before they were in the Big Ten, this sort of long athletic. You know, they're just, you know, the not ACC-ish necessarily, but, you know, I think they've been able to use their length inside. They've been able to make shots. We saw, you know, even when Penn State played in College Park, some of those late shots they made outside. But I do think, you know, Penn State has played Maryland better here in town than they have on the road. And certainly you mentioned that free throw disparity has got a lot to do with it. And you figure Penn State played them pretty well the first time, and you could argue had a pretty good chance to win that game, or at least had as good of a chance to win that game as Maryland did late in spite of that. So, you know, you take those things. I would say Maryland's been playing generally about as good as basketball as anybody in the Big Ten. But you could say that, you know, in spite of their record, in spite of some of these losses, that Penn State certainly has not been far behind that pack as well. So it ought to be a pretty good game on Wednesday.
Always a pleasure, Ben. Thanks so much for your time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. We're going to talk about the NFL draft in the next half hour. Luke Easterly from USA Today is going to join us. Combine, of course, is this week. And that's what we'll be talking about in the next half hour. Talk about various players, how it plays out. We'll get into the quarterbacks a bit. I'm going to wait a while to get to the quarterbacks, though, with him. Because this is not a quarterback-centric draft like last year. So we'll talk to about that, get into Miles Sanders a little bit, get into Connor McGovern a little bit, get into Monty Oyewere. They would be the three prime guys that would get a lot of interest from Penn State right out of the gate. Mel Kiper Jr. is going to do something this year he has never done before. And what would that be, Sean?
I'm drawing a blank.
He's going to actually go to the combine for the first time in his life. You're shocked, aren't you? The first time he's ever gone. Very interesting. Very interesting. One of the more intriguing guys is going to be at the front of the draft. He's going to get drafted. He'll be one of the top five. Maybe he's the first overall pick. We'll see. I don't know. And that is Nick Bosa. Is he a talented player? Yeah. Do I think he's a smart player? Yeah. Who knows? That's something that I don't see him enough to really know if he is or not. But do I think he's a very talented player? Yes. Was he injured? Absolutely. Wasn't just hurt. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. He was injured. Required surgery. But after a couple weeks, he looked around and said, "Nah, enough of this. I'm leaving." And he left. To me, if I'm sitting in an interview room with him, I ask him straight out about quitting. And he can argue with me all he wants. I would use the word quit. You quit on your team. What would keep you from getting injured and then quitting on us? I mean, it's a job interview. I can use whatever language and terminology I want. So if I want to use the word quit, I can use the word quit, because in my opinion, he quit on Ohio State. I remember talking to some of the Ohio State people. I said, well, yeah, because we knew he wasn't going to play against Penn State because he got hurt in the TCU game. Well, we think, you know, probably November 1st. Yeah, maybe at the latest November 8th. I'm like, okay. 2 weeks later, he's gone. Got to take care of himself. I always hear about, you know, this is a, you know, business, you know, being a professional. Being a professional means showing up. That's what being a professional means. In football, it's interesting. Friday night, back at the hotel room, in one of the local stations, did an interview with a producer who, for CBS Sports in the early 80s, they needed him to produce these half-hour, 90-second vignettes. But he had to go and interview people for the vignettes. Well, in 1982, one of the guys he interviews is Red Grange. Right? Let's face it, for Illinois, it probably is their glory years of football in the 1920s. But in 1982, he interviews Red Grange. And they had segments of that interview scattered throughout. They bullet-pointed topics about Grange. And then he'd talk about it. He talked about some of the great games that they had in 1924. And he was very humble talking about the game against Michigan, I think Iowa, whatever. Michigan's the one, the most famous one, obviously. And he talked about how the other 10 guys did their job, and he then did his job. But he was only able to do his job at the highest level because of the other 10 guys. And he talked about football being the ultimate team game. And football in so many ways is the ultimate we game versus me game. As much as we assign me to Tom Brady, as much as we assign me to Aaron Rodgers, it's still the ultimate we game. You notice when Aaron Rodgers is under pressure, he doesn't function it as high. Same thing with Brady. When there's pressure up the middle, he doesn't function as high because he needs the we in front of him to make him function at his highest level. And now I look at a guy like Nick Bosa. This is the ultimate we game, not me game. Okay, so are you going to quit on us the way you quit on Ohio State? I mean, Nick Bosa went out and did what was best for Nick Bosa. If we have an entire society doing that all the time, are we going to be able to function? Where everybody's just out to do their, hey, I got to do what's best for me. Okay. All right. That's not the way I function in life. I don't know about you. But I mean, I'm talking now. I am working with the ultimate we person in Sean Carey. He is the ultimate we person. And they need him to do a broadcast, Sean Carey's there. They need him to fill in on the mark, Sean's there. They need him to do the post-game show on Friday night in high school football season, Sean's there. They need him to run the Bucknell basketball game, Sean's there. They need Sean on this show, Sean's there. Sean Carey is the ultimate we person. He is not in any way, shape, or form a me person. Okay? You give me 20 Sean Careys, we're in awesome shape. Okay? Nick Bosa, as a football player, is incredibly talented. Right? But so is Josh Allen at Kentucky. So is Josh Allen at Kentucky. I didn't see him missing anything. And again, I understand that Bosa was injured. He was not hurt. He was injured. Big distinction. Being hurt's one thing. But what's to say, you know, like, you know what? I got to shut it down the rest of the season. I got to think about me. Really? I mean, that's where we are. It's about think about me. It's always about me, you know. What happened to we? I can't imagine Sean in a million years saying, nah, I got to think about me. I can't do this today. Now, the other guy that was here, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Saquon Barkley leading into the bowl game out in Arizona. I mean, it's laughable if you bring that question up. You going to skip the game? No way. And he squashed that weeks ahead of time so there wouldn't be people pondering or wondering what's going on about him.
I mean, were they, did they use him the way I thought they would? Yes. They just like Amani Oruwariye, they kind of used him sparingly, but he played some against Kentucky. You know, Amani didn't play. Boy, I'd say Amani didn't play 85% of the game against Kentucky. I mean, that's the coaching staff looking out for him. But is that where we are in sports? It's all about me now. It's not about we. I mean, again, what's to keep a player on a 5-4 team at the end of October looking around going, you know what, I'm going to get ready for the draft. I got to take care of me. Is that where we are? I mean, Bosa's going to get picked, but I'll tell you right now, if I have a comparable player, I'd take the other guy. He's not a quitter.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.